When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back, Nation. It's time for a college football playoff segment. We're going to chat with Denton Day of SiriusXM. He does a college football overtime over there on your satellite radio. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And a good afternoon, Denton. How you doing here with 2 hours to go till kickoff?
Man, I'm excited. This is one of my, obviously, favorite days of the college football year. Getting a game on a Thursday is always fun, and I think this matchup is going to be a really, really fun one this evening, so I can't wait.
How do you see it going? What's Ole Miss need to do here to keep this party going?
Well, they got to do what no one else has been able to over the last month. They got to protect the quarterback. You know, Miami has done a sensational job with Mezidor and Bain and everybody else just disrupting the opposing team's game plan. They need to find a way to stop at least one of those guys. I don't think you can stop both of them. I just don't. You're going to have to live with the fact that one of them is going to be disruptive, but you're going to have to stop the other one. I don't know how they do that. You know, I've seen a bunch of articles written today about maybe the mobility of Trinidad Chambliss being the X factor in that. Good luck. They are so quick to get into the backfield. I think they're going to have their hands full all night.
And then on the other side of the ball, what do you think about Ole Miss's chances of slowing down the Miami run game?
You're going to have to sell out. I mean, they're going to have to put eight in the box. You're basically going to have to, if you're Ole Miss, you have to dare Carson Beck to throw. And to be fair, if Carson Beck is throwing the ball a ton, you're going to be in a much more advantageous position to win. You know, if you looked at the first couple games that they played in the college football playoff, the run game has been the bread and butter for Miami. They figured out that, hey, what happened at Louisville, that's not going to happen if we don't have him throw the ball as much. What happened at SMU is not going to happen if we don't have him throw the ball as much. If we put him in positions where, hey, you just give me one or two big throws. One or two big throws. I think Shannon Dawson, the offensive coordinator at Miami, did a really good job when necessary against Ohio State, scheming his wide receivers open. You know, C.J. Daniels had a good performance. Malachi Toney wasn't, you know, crazy statistically in that one, but I thought he had a good performance against Texas A&M. Ole Miss is going to have to put eight, maybe nine guys in the box, and they're really going to have to tackle well. This can't be a situation where in the first quarter you start, you know, arm tackling Mark Fletcher. If that's going to be the case, it's going to be a very, very long night.
Of the four units on the field, is the Ole Miss defense the worst?
Yes, yeah, yes, like by a pretty significant margin, I would say. And look, man, like they have this Team of Destiny vibe. I'm not sure if that's more just because of the Lane Kiffin drama and everybody is so angry at Lane that they're just really pulling for Ole Miss at this point. This is going to be the first time in the playoffs, though, that they're playing somebody they haven't seen already this year, right? You know, they saw Tulane earlier in the year. They saw Georgia earlier in the year. This is going to be the first time seeing Miami. So I think that unit definitely is going to – it's definitely the worst of all four units in the game. So their work is going to be cut out for them in that department.
Dan, that's a great point, that they had seen these teams prior to playing them. Do you think this could be the game where all the shuffling and the unknown on the coaching staff, maybe it does end up showing up for Ole Miss?
Yeah, I do. And honestly, even if the coaching staff was 100% intact, and let's just say Lane Kiffin was the knight in shining armor and the hero of Oxford, and he stayed, and they still had the same results, I don't know how much it would really matter. Like the theme of the college football playoff to me, guys, through the first three rounds has been, if you can get after the quarterback, you're going to win. You know, there's no quarterback that's playing unbelievable. Like, we're not seeing a Burrow in 19. We're not seeing a quarterback that's moving heaven and earth to lift his team. If you can get after the quarterback, you're gonna be in a really good spot. And Ole Miss has a problem of they can't get after the quarterback very well, and they're happening to play a team that really can.
Then with Ole Miss, though, running the ball or trying to run the ball with Lacy, it seemed like in their playoff game earlier that he was kind of keeping him on schedule. And you mentioned about Miami's pass rush. How big of a role do you think he's going to have in trying to keep an Ole Miss on schedule and ahead of the sticks?
Massive, massive. And he's been really, really good, right? And I know it was that the Tulane game when they thought they were going to lose him because he left in the first half.
Shoulder, yeah.
And that ended up being a little bit more precautionary, but he's been massive for them. I mean, this is going to be a game where if Ole Miss really wants to win, I think it's going to come down to, the first two drives. And it'd be really nice. This is obviously something that's out of their control, but it would be really nice if they start the game with the ball and they get ahead of Miami. So even if it's just a field goal, if they start the game on their opening possession and they go down and put points up, I think that would do them a whole lot of service. Just to, all right, hey, we belong here, but then you're also putting pressure immediately on Miami. But Lacy's going to be huge. If he can take what might have been for Ohio State, let's just say a 2-yard gain and take it to a 4-yard gain, then that's going to give Ole Miss a really good opportunity. He's going to be very, very important if the Rebels want to win tonight.
So I'm detecting quite a bit of optimism from you in the Canes. Are you comfortable laying that 3 in this one? Are you that confident?
Yeah. I have laid the 3. I think it really comes down to the pass rush. As soon as that number jumped, I was like, oh, I am on that one. So I did lay the 3, and I feel pretty good that it hasn't wavered too much there, so I feel comfortable with that.
It's our guy Denton Day with us here in the G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. So tomorrow's game, Indiana-Oregon, you were big on Oregon when we talked with you previously. Do you think the Ducks can upset the Hoosiers?
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I think they are going to be the best opportunity to beat Indiana. If they can't, I don't think anybody can. Indiana, Alabama was not ready for them. I think if you've been watching Indiana all year, you probably knew Alabama does not know what they're getting into. And there is this, and Nick Saban kind of addressed this on game day. There is just this SEC inflation of the ego of, hey, we're Alabama and that's just Indiana. And at that point, you would not have seen anybody who had had a bye win in round number 2. Well, I mean, Indiana is a juggernaut, fellas. They have earned every right of it. But Oregon is the one team that has, they've seen them before. And I don't know that that gives them an advantage necessarily, but at the very least, it lets them know, hey, we know what we're getting ourselves into here in a way that Alabama very much did not. And I think there's something about that first game they played earlier in the season where Dante Moore, it was one of the worst games he's played. And I think there's an element of that where he says, all right, not only do I just have the natural chip on my shoulder of, hey, if I win this game, I'm going to play for a national championship, but I played very, very poorly the first time. It's the only real blemish on his season so far. Let me get one back. So I think Oregon's going to be really, really ready and really prepared, but that's a lot easier said than done because while Indiana doesn't have, they have obviously the Heisman Trophy winner, right? They're not like uberly, uberly talented. They're not dripping with 5 stars the way that we have seen programs in the past, but they just do everything at such a high level. It starts with Cignetti, obviously, but they do everything at such a high level. That, to me, is the game that's going to decide the national champion. I think whoever wins Indiana-Oregon is going to be hoisting the trophy.
Not from an NFL perspective, but just right now in this Final Four, who's the best quarterback still standing?
I think it's Dante Moore. I like Fernando Mendoza. I think the upside of Dante Moore is a little bit higher than that of Fernando Mendoza. I think he has just a natural arm talent as well that Mendoza does not have. So I would say that is Dante Moore, and then it's Fernando Mendoza, Trinidad Chambliss, and then maybe a space or two, and Carson Beck. I love Miami, and I just really don't like Carson Beck.
How do you see how Ole Miss got here in that second half collapse from Georgia? Do you give the Rebels credit for that, or how do you analyze it?
Oh, definitely. And I think some of the plays that Chambliss made in that were – that did kind of, I think, inflate this team of destiny feel, because he was doing some things where you're like, that should not have just worked, but it did. He's really, really good when he's playing free. And there was a small part of the season, I think that first game against Georgia is kind of where it started, to where the story of, hey, this is a D2 guy that was playing well, kind of crashed a little bit because you were playing much better quality opponents. But when he's just playing loose and free, he is an exciting, exciting player to watch. He does a lot of things really well. Still has some issues accuracy-wise, but as you saw in that game against Georgia, he just has an innate gamer ability about him. So I hope we see that version of him, tonight. If we do see that version of him, I do think the game will at least be close headed into the fourth quarter.
So, of course, you're crushing it, SiriusXM, talking college football, but you are my Commander's source when it comes to you hosting the pre and post. What the hell is going on right now with Dan Quinn in that situation?
This is an implosion of high levels, fellas. We did not think that this was – we knew Joe Witt was going to be gone. That the writing has been on the wall for months in regards to that. And then all of a sudden on Saturday, we found out, hey, there might be a disconnect between somebody in Cliff Kingsbury. It said the front office in that reporting from Diana Rossini. We have since learned that maybe it was more Dan Quinn. I guess it depends on who your source is. But there's something that was not connecting there. And so he's now gone. And it feels like if I'm going to read the tea leaves here, Dan Quinn is a guy that's worked in a bunch of different places, and he works with Adam Peters. And Adam Peters is from San Francisco, who at one point employed Mike McDaniel, who is now recently on the job market. And Mike McDaniel has said on many different occasions that Dan Quinn basically saved his life when he was going through a hard time. So it feels like Mike McDaniel is going to be the next offensive coordinator here in D.C. I would be thrilled with that. It's funny how these things work, right? So you have the events of the past, 36 to 48 hours. And then you start reading back in like old articles from guys on the beat. And there was an excerpt from a John Kahn article of ESPN where Mike McDaniel was raving about Jaden Daniels. And this was, I think, when he was still in San Francisco after Jaden had he had played that game with Brandon Ayuk where they beat Oregon and Justin Herbert. And Mike Daniel was raving about him then. So now he has an opportunity in 2026 to reunite with Adam Peters, to work under Dan Quinn, and then to potentially work with a quarterback in Jaden Daniels. And look, if he could get Tua Tagovailoa to be, for a very small point, one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL and get him, paid to the extent that he did. If he could take that player and do that with him, imagine what he could do with a legitimately talented player. So I think Mike McDaniel would be a shoo-in here, and I have started a prayer circle for that to happen sooner rather than later.
Best of luck to you on that. Denton Day, host of College Football Overtime on SiriusXM. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll catch up with you soon.
Yep, fellas, appreciate it.
Cheers. There he goes. It's time now for a mixed bag here with Wolchuk.
All right, we got power rankings, Tigers 50th, and a new jackass. That's next to the Nation.